It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Boomer and Geo coming to you live, the Bill Ford Tough Studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Mets win, Yankees win, Jets lose. Of course, spent a lot of time in the baseball in the first hour, so let's get into the Jets a little bit more here. And the coaching change happens, and you feel like you have a very similar loss than you had that like you had the last 2 weeks. I know the offense was better. They had over 400 yards. There's no doubt about it. As Garrett Wilson gets involved again, has another 100-yard game. This was Breece Hall's best game that he's had all season. There was no doubt there was a change in the offense, and they were better. However, I mean, the penalties are still there. The mistakes are still there. The interceptions at the end of games now, still there. And you just feel like this team is, like, what is it going to take for them to get to that level to be able to compete with the best in the AFC is where they're supposed to be. And when you've got Aaron Rodgers at his age not playing as well as we expected him to play and getting his ass kicked, I don't think they can get there. And I got to be honest with you, one thing that nobody is talking about, it's just like maybe because he got hurt so bad last year, like all these little like minor dings and bumps and bruises people aren't talking about. He's going to miss some games this season. He's definitely going to, every week he's getting leveled. And he's already dealing with an ankle and a knee. They've only played six games. The offensive line's not getting any better. And these guys that are hitting them aren't treating them like their grandfather. They're nailing them.
Yeah, Tyron Smith had a tough game last night. Oof. I would say, though, you know, three-game losing streak by a combined 10 points. They've scored a total of 6 points in the second half at home in the two games that they've lost at home against the Broncos and, of course, last night against the Bills. So there is a second-half issue.
Yeah.
Without question, offensively. That ball was underthrown last night to Mike Williams. Mike Williams was wide open, and Aaron unfortunately underthrew him, which was the biggest throw of the game. I mean, you could still see that the arm strength is there. I mean, that Hail Mary throw was ridiculous. But I also will say, you know, it's a pain in the ass playing against Josh Allen. We always talk about it from the Jet perspective, from the Buffalo perspective. I thought Sean McDermott had his team ready to play, ready to go. I think he probably told his team all week long that there are a lot of people thinking that the Jets are going to come out a different team. They're going to be ready to go with a new coach, and there's going to be an uptick in performance. And certainly for Breece Hall, there was, even though he did drop a pass. Mm-hmm. And there are a couple times where I thought he could have ran a little bit differently than he did. But you can't take away, his impact on the game last night. It was certainly there and evident. But I mean, Josh Allen's a pain in the neck to play against.
Yeah, right, but the Jets defense did enough in this game to win, and Josh Allen had not been playing all that well, and I don't think this was a vintage Josh Allen night. I mean, last night, to me, this was all on the offense again. And by the way, this game isn't close without a miracle Hail Mary before halftime.
I know, but did you see Josh Allen getting away from pass rusher? I mean, he probably made about seven plays last night.
He's really good, but the Jets, all right, he's really good, and they scored 23 points, and it was a struggle for them. The game was there to be had, and the Jets defense did enough to contain one of the best players in the league. It was on the offense again.
But you also had a couple drop passes last night.
You know, drop passes are on the offense.
Yeah, I understand that, but what I'm talking about is not all Aaron Rodgers. I mean, you know, Aaron Rodgers hit Garrett Wilson in the chest with a ball in the end zone. Now he got hit by two players. I'm not sitting here saying that that's an easy play to make. Let's say that's Justin Jefferson. Is he holding on to that ball? Is that Ja'Marr Chase? Is he holding on to that ball?
Yeah, I mean, I know what you're saying, and it's tough circumstantially to sort of say for a guarantee. I'm not saying it's all Aaron Rodgers. I'm saying it's the offense.
On the underthrow of the ball, I could see it. I could see it like in my sleep that he's rolling kind of to it like that. He's moving to his left and he's throwing back right.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's tough. It's impossible to get all the juice on the ball.
He's stepping into it. If anything, his body is going left and his arm's going right, like Sean Manaea pitching.
Yeah.
And he underthrows Williams. He's got Williams open. I mean, that's a play that, you know, normally is going to be made 9 out of 10 times. And I have to say that the Buffalo safeties, both of them played great last night.
Yeah.
And this is now three games in a row that they very easily could have won and did not. They're two games under 500. They could have been in first place. You got two essentially dead teams in your division. You got the Bills in your building after a coaching change where you're supposed to get a bump and you still lose the game. So, I mean, this Steelers game coming up is so incredibly important because you do have the Patriots after that. Now, it's going to be a different Patriots team with Drake May, who will have a couple games under his belt. The offense maybe not will not be as putrid for the Patriots, but that's still, we said it yesterday, worst roster in football. That's a game that you got to beat them again like you did the first time. So this, I mean, if you can get back to 4-4, fine. But this team right now is not, they're just not a good football
team. You know, here's the difference between these two teams last night. You have Sean McDermott, who's been coaching this team since Josh Allen got there, and you have two guys that, you know, are used to winning tough games on the road. And yeah, they played poorly the previous two games, but you know, they upped their game yesterday. And the difference is you have an interim coach and you have a 40-year-old quarterback who is still trying to figure out everybody on his offense. And it comes down really to, you know, a couple missed field goals and then an underthrown ball that was intercepted. And it was a great interception, by the way. That was a hell of a play.
Yeah, it was awesome.
So,
yeah.
Like, there are a lot of different things that happened in this game. The penalties. I mean, and by the way, if I hear Joe Buck say they got help from above or they got help from New York City, like this officiating crew was a mess last night.
Terrible. Really bad.
I mean, can't avoid it. Forget that, you know, there were penalties, and I understand that they're going to throw, like, the rough and the passer on Josh Allen late in the game, but on Javon Kinlaw. I'm like, so me and Troy both have played in a different era, and we both laugh at that.
Well, the one on Aaron Rodgers was worse.
Yes.
Aaron Rodgers saying that it wasn't a penalty after the game, too.
And how about the first play on the last drive where he gets hit and his arm is moving forward?
Yeah, I know.
Troy's going like, and I understand exactly what Troy's talking about because I'm sitting there going, that's a fumble.
Yeah.
He wasn't trying to throw it. He was trying to hold from throwing it. And because he got hit, the ball got knocked out of his hand. But technically, his arm is moving forward, and the ball comes out of it.
Yeah, I guess by rule, that is the right call, but that's silly. I mean, that to me was a fumble. Jets caught a break there.
That was a huge break for them.
Yeah.
And, you know, and the question is, did the ball go forward or did it go backward? You know, I'm like, I couldn't see an angle, and there's all this discussion. And, you know, and Joe, in his sarcastic way, is like, I guess New York's going to get involved here.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's what they do. I mean, they're just waiting and waiting for somebody to confirm it. I mean, it's...
Is it me or a lot of these primetime games, like, stopped and started and somebody's helping from somewhere else, and I don't know if it's New York or if they're in the building. I have no idea who anybody is talking to.
Yeah, I mean, I remember for years, though, we were asking for something like this. Like, you know, can't there be somebody who's watching the game live and get these things right because we're seeing it? Why can't they see it?
Well, they implemented it like 2 years ago in the playoffs.
Right.
So it seemed to keep the game going where you didn't have to have challenges.
I actually like it. I like the replay assist stuff from New York. I think it's much better, and generally it's quicker.
Well, the frustrating thing about watching last night's game were all the penalties and then all the help from above. from New York.
Yeah, the Jets need some help from above right now. Yeah. That's for sure. LT in Port St. Lucie. What's going on, LT?
I can't, boys.
Hey.
I just can't. I'm 57 years old. I was a Jets fan. My dad would have brought me to Shea Stadium as a little boy. And I loved the Jets my whole life. I played football my whole life, semi-pro, not to the Brubles level, but I love the game. I love the sport. And I can't keep doing it. It's the worst organization. They're so poorly coached. They're poorly constructed. Tell me why I should maintain my loyalty to the Jets. Tell me why I watch this team and hope for them to win, and they never, ever, 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 ever come through. My dad passed away in March. I will never forgive this organization for not letting me watch a Super Bowl with him in my lifetime since I was two.
Yeah.
It's not fair. It's not fair.
This is what I'm going to say.
There's a lot there.
There is a lot of heavy lifting there. I don't want to get into all the...
Psychology
of it all. But I want to say is, look, every year is different. Even though you... you have your old Joe Beningo, like the uniforms are the same, or the uniforms have changed, the players have changed.
Change of practice facility.
Whatever, yes. Yeah. That whole thing. I understand that. So Jeff Ulbrich is the interim head coach right now. He's got to figure out how to keep his team focused in. He's got to block out all the noise like that from LT, because there's a million fans just like you, LT. And I lived through that for 3 years.
Yeah.
And I've lived through it for 18 years here on this radio station. And we know about your history. We know you're all Jet fans. We know you're miserable. You know that it sucks that they're losing right now. They're tightening these games. These games are competitive. They're tight. They get sloppy at times. And they're sloppy because, you know, a lot of these guys haven't played with each other. I keep telling you guys that. Eventually, they're going to hit the pedal running. And it's going to click. And I feel like it's getting closer and closer and closer. And each guy on this team, whether it be Greg Zuerlein last night, Aaron Rodgers in London, Breece Hall against the Broncos, everybody has got skin in this game. Everybody. And this is what Jeff Ulbrich's got to tell everybody, that we are in these games, guys. We are in every single game. We're not the Cowboys. We're not getting blown out.
Right, that's
they
true.
Are in every single game. 10 points. The last three games they lost by a combined 10 points.
Yeah, you just gotta get back to 4-4. And just a little PSA for every sports fan: you cannot conflate those two things. You know, with the time with your dad who passed away, and I didn't get a chance to watch a championship with my dad. You can't control that stuff. You can't. All you're doing is setting yourself up for disappointment. Like, I'm sure you had many great moments with your dad. You know, if it would have happened where you watched a championship with your dad, it would have been a great moment. But don't sit there and harbor that resentment to the organization. You chose to make this team that important to you, where you're thinking about your dad who's dead, who you didn't get a chance to watch a championship with. That's your choice. So just don't do that. Like, don't, because 9 times out of 10, it ain't going to work out. So, just...
I feel bad for LT.
Me too, but it's just like, it's too late now.
Yeah.
Too late now.
I know, but you gotta stick with your team, man. Team's got to stick together. Fans got to stick with the team. Let it out.
You can't resent the team for not winning a championship.
No, I know that. You got to let it out. I understand there's going to be a lot of frustration. It could be worse. You could be a Giant fan, but at least the Giants have Super Bowls.
Oh, yeah, yes.
Next thing you know, you're dead.
Let's go to Ricky in Vegas. What's going on, Ricky?
Hey, fellas, what's happening?
Hey, Ricky.
You know, two things. First of all, what would be the over and under? Rodgers says tells everybody to relax. Week 11 or week 11 or after week 11?
I know you're joking because he's done that in the past, and
but he did that after week one.
Yeah, but I don't think he's doing that, because I think that he thinks that they're in trouble. I mean, you look at him on the sidelines after these games; he looks beat up, he looks exhausted, and he looks frustrated. And he doesn't look like a guy who's got a lot of confidence right now that this team's going to get to where they need to be.
Well, then he's going to throw it on his back 1 week. You know, he's going to take it all on. He has to before the end of the year. But Boomer, any chances of John Gruden ever being a coach again? Because you know what? You can't be asking to go to the Super Bowl and have, the bottom five in coaching staff. It's just not feasible to me.
Yeah, I would drop Gruden in. In regards to John Gruden, I think he's more likely apt to go into college. I just don't see him coming back to the NFL, given the emails and what was in some of those emails. I basically have forgotten about most of it. But I think
something to do with Benghazi, right?
That
was somebody else.
That was something to do with Benghazi. What?
I get my email scandals confused.
Something to do with,
I don't know.
Benghazi. It's not Hillary Clinton.
That was Hillary Clinton. That's right. It wasn't John Gruden. It was different emails with John. It was something to do with Dan Snyder, right?
It was Dan Snyder. Yeah, that's what it was. And yes, yeah. And there were some racial things in there. And to me, I don't necessarily know that there's an NFL owner that's going to go down that path. Whether it's right or it's wrong, that's in the eye of the beholder. I don't know enough about it at this point, and pretty much have forgotten about it.
Matt, Staten Island, what's going on, Matt?
Hey, Boomer Geo, what's up, fellas?
Hey, all right, Matt, what's happening, brother?
Nothing much, man. Great Tuesday morning here. Just got a quick question for Boomer. Well, actually, first off, Jay, let me just say, when Carton left the show, I was devastated because I love Carton, but you have filled his shoes so perfectly. You're the man, man.
Well,
love
I appreciate
you.
That, Matt. Thanks, man. So what's your question this morning?
All right, second thing. Brighter future, the Chicago Bears with Caleb Williams or the New York Jets with Aaron Rodgers?
100% the Bears. 100% the Bears. I mean, Caleb Williams is, you know, he's starting out. This is what, he's played five games or six games, and his future is really bright. I mean,
well, is he talking about the play, like to make the playoffs this year?
We're talking about the immediate future. We're talking about the long, like,
well,
like
obviously the long-term range. Future. That's an easy answer. Like to make the play, I think his question was to make the playoffs this year, and the Jets actually have a better chance because of the division that the Bears play in. There's three teams that are better than him in their own division, where the Jets have a Dolphins team that's lost with injury, and a Patriots team that's very in their infancy of a rebuild.
Right.
So and they were right there with the Bills last night. So
yes, I would agree with that. You know, the Bears got tough sledding ahead, but I will say this, that Caleb Williams has gotten better each and every week.
Indeed. Yep, he certainly has.
And they have a good team, and they have a really built a good team around him. But and with Aiden Hutchinson being lost by the Lions right now, that's a huge loss for them.
Yeah, absolutely. But I mean, that team right there, every team in the division's got four wins. Crazy.
The Packers are coming on now.
Yeah, they are. Yep. Yeah.
They're a young team that, like, they are finding themselves.
Yeah, lost at home to the Vikings, but yeah, I know what you
but
mean.
But they're finding themselves.
Okay.
Yeah. Very important.
Didn't find themselves at Lambeau that day. But, yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah.
And with comeback player of the year, Minnesota Sam.
He's not a comeback player of the year candidate.
Great Lakes Sam.
Great Lakes.
10,000 Lake Sam.
10,000. What the? Man, oh my.
Call him Broadway Sam, so I was trying to figure out something. I don't know.
No, what did they call him here? They called him something here. They called Sanchez Sanchez.
Yeah, it was Broadway Sam for a little bit.
It was? Like, yeah, Danny Dimes?
Yeah, it was Broadway Sam for like 10 minutes.
Okay.
yeah, it's.
After that Lion game. And then
yeah,
that was it.
Right, that was it.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. All right, we are giving away Game 3 NLCS tickets at Citi Field for tomorrow night. And we're going to give them away in the 8 a.m. hour. But you got to be listening now to hear the Howie Rose drop that you'll be listening for next hour. And when you hear it next hour, that's when you call. You don't call now. So, when you hear this next hour,
Deep Throat,
you call 866-540-WFAN. That's 866-540-9326 and be calling number 7. So once again, when you hear
Deep Throat,
Howie Rose say Deep Throat, that's when you call the contest line to have your opportunity to be calling number 7 to win the tickets for Game 3 of the NLCS tomorrow night at Citi Field. All right, Jerry, what's going on, man?
We're brought to you by Hard Rock Bet. Download the Hard Rock Bet app and roll with us. We're also brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. I was going to start with the baseball this hour, but I found a piece of audio that I can't wait for Boomer to hear so he can break it down for us and explain it.
Okay.
First, though, I'm going to play a couple of highlights as to why the Jets, one of the reasons the Jets lost last night to the Bills 23-20, score tied at 20 and a short field goal.
It is Greg Zuerlein out from 32 yards from the left hash to try and give the Jets the lead. Out of the hold of Morstick. The snap clean, the placement down, the kick is up, end over end, and it is no good. It hit the upright. It knuckleballed to the left.
And missed. And then with the score still 20-20, how about again?
The snap clean, the placement down, the kick is on the way. And this kick moves to the left, hits the upright, and it's no good.
Again. Yeah. And then wow. The Bills did get it. So they 23-20 is the final. This is
same old Jets.
Sportsman so, voice.
This is the clip I'd like to play for you. It's 30 seconds, and Aaron Rodgers was asked about the interception at the end, which we've all been talking about this morning. This is his take on what happened, where the ball was supposed to go, and the route that was run.
Two verticals, you know. Allen's down the seam, Mike's down the red line. So I'm looking at Allen. He puts his hand up, three guys go with him, so I'm throwing a no-look to the red line. And when I just peek my eyes back there, he's running a handbreaker. So it's got to be down the red line.
So were you throwing that to come back to it?
No, I was throwing it to the red line, but when I got to about here, I relied on an in-breaker, so I had to kind of adjust it a little bit. But the play is two guys vertical, one guy down the seam, one guy on the red line.
God, I'm a novice.
All right,
I don't
see
a red line. So
all right, so get me Devontae Adams. Hurry up. Get him here.
Get him here, make the
pop. Is that what he's saying?
That's what it sounds like to me. But I know what he's talking about, but I have to see the top of the route to see whether or not he's characterizing it properly. There's no reason to lie because we can all see it. But I the top of the route looks to me like he's going to the sideline. And I don't know why Mike Williams would be doing that. And if you have two guys, and I understand the seam concept. All right. So you have the inside guy, Alan Lazard, going, taking three guys with him. Mm-hmm. He wants to hit Williams on the sideline, which I'm assuming that he is calling that the red line. I'm not sure, but I'm not sure how they describe, that part of the field, but it sounds like that's how they describe
it. I mean, basically, forget about all the mumbo jumbo here for a second. He's blaming that interception on Mike Williams.
100%.
That's what's going on.
Which is unbelievable to me.
I mean, it's as clear as day. He's blaming the interception on the wide receiver.
That's why I said get me Devontae Adams.
Yeah, no, of course. Get him here, make the ton of fun.
Like normally you would say we're just not on the same page somehow. You know what I mean? You would just normally say we're not on the same page. I thought he was going to do something. He did something else, and unfortunately it didn't work out. That's normally how you would explain that.
As opposed to I threw it where he's supposed to be and he wasn't there. So
not on me.
If a facial expression could tell a story, it looked like he was thinking, get me the hell out of here last night. Just watching the press conference. He looked so
annoyed. Well, during the game, too. Well, on the sideline.
True.
It's crazy.
That is true. He definitely looks angry, that's for sure. Here's Breece Hall. They're not scoring. They were in the red zone at least, I think it was four times. What is the issue?
I just feel like we got to lock in more and have better communication. I know me and Aaron had a miscommunication on one today at the end of the game that would have hit big for us. So, it sucks that, those plays are left out there. But
this one here,
we had more than enough chances. We had, I think, four times in the red zone that we should have came away with
four
seven.
Straight.
I don't know.
I mean, that safety was way back there and out of the picture and comes up and took a great angle, but it just I couldn't believe it. It's almost like guy dropped out of the sky.
The Bills in that first quarter, when they saw contact, they ran right at the Jets, put their shoulder down, and ran over them.
Yeah.
And here he's dancing, just straight line, but it's the way it goes. Here was Jeff Ulbrich. The defense, not good enough.
It's just not, we're just not accustomed to it. There's some communication errors. There's definitely some times where I could have put them in better calls. And then there was some assignment error. So it's just, it wasn't the defense that we're accustomed to, especially against the run.
And then on the other side, there's Deion Dawkins. He hates the Jets. I think he is on record as saying he hates the Jets.
He's like Bill Belichick.
So after the, yes, we'll have,
the
way, we'll have
Belichick
him next hour.
On the Manning cast
I'll have that next
night.
Hour, okay. Yes. We had no Marco last night, so no audio.
Oh.
So I'll have it next hour. Here he was saying how tough we are as a group and how tough they are not. Essentially, is what he's saying.
We're gladiators, Like I said, I wore green. It's a stunt on them. Kept my shirt off. It's a stunt on them. I did exactly what I said that I was going to do. And the truth always presents itself. I said that they a bunch of weirdos, right? So, hey, it's showing. So, hey, it is what it is.
Bunch of weirdos.
Bunch of weirdos?
Which one thing he did say that last year.
Sounds like a Democrat.
And he says there will be a part two to this as well.
I'm happy. I'm going to get on the plane happy. And I can't wait to see him again because we get him twice a year. So we get to spar again.
Bill's Weirdos Part 2 coming soon.
Man, I'll tell you one thing. Sean McDermott had them fired up. And that reflects that.
You could certainly
definitely
make that
reflects
case.
That.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Pretty funny. Anyhow, we heard from Lions head coach Dan Campbell yesterday. Just an update and a timeline. Aiden Hutchinson recovering from surgery.
4 to 6 months. I would never count Hutch out, ever. So, yeah, probably, long road, but I would never count him out. And I would say if anybody can make it back, it'd be him.
Reminds me of my former teammate Tim Crumry, who went into the Ring of Honor this year for the Bengals, who broke his leg in the Super Bowl and didn't leave the game until the game was over. He stayed in the stadium in an air cast and came back and played exceptionally well And when you go to Pro Football Reference, you'll see that they consider him one of the greatest, if not the greatest, nose tackles to have played, just simply because of how many tackles he had at that position after he broke his leg, which is amazing.
Pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Baseball ALCS Game 1 to the Yankees, a 5-2 win over the Guardians. Carlos Rodon, our thriving player of the game.
And ready to deal 0-2. Struck him out swinging. Wow, what a night for Rodon. That's 9 strikeouts.
Yeah, for Carlos Rodon, who went 6 innings of 3-hit ball for the win, and that's why he is our Yankees Thriving Player of the Game, brought to you by ThriveWell, New York's premier infusion and injection center, saving lives drip by drip. Visit ThriveWellInfusion.com. Here was Rodon post-game. I was very level-headed out there.
The goal was just try to stay in control of, you know, what I can do, obviously physically and emotionally, and I thought I executed that well tonight.
And always great getting the jump in a series. Here is Giancarlo Stanton on Yes.
Big time, big time. But still, now with nothing left, we got three to go, and enjoy this one for now.
Stanton homered in the 7th inning. Juan Soto made someone in this room very happy, hitting a home run in the 3rd inning.
Oh, yeah.
Here was Soto, whether it's me, whether it's Stanton, Rodon, total team effort.
That's what good teams does. We it's not all about one guy. It's about the whole lineup, and we show we put pressure on those guys, taking pitches, getting our walks, getting guys over, bases loaded,
all sorts of things. And Alex Cobb learned that very quickly, how difficult this lineup is, which is something he kind of knew going in.
Great play discipline, tons of power. Rizzo's a big add to that lineup as well. They all have really good approaches.
Approaches.
You see where they took out Rizzo out in the 9th inning last night for defensive purposes, but really wasn't really for defensive purposes. It was because of, how did Aaron Boone put it? He was fatigued.
It was very tiresome.
Yeah, mentally and physically fatigued.
That's a lot. I mean,
he's been out for a while.
That's amazing. It is amazing. I mean, baseball players. That's really.
He took him out because he was mentally fatigued.
I love the game, but good Lord, you watch hockey players, what they do, and we're tired from standing around every
inning.
I would
understand maybe if it's game 75 and you played 74 games in a row. I mean, he hasn't played for 2 weeks. 3 weeks. I'm like, come on, Aaron.
Oh, funny. Game 2 tonight, Garrett Cole, Tanner Bibee, the starters. We will have it for you on the Fan first pitch at 7:38 with John and Susan. Now we get to the Mets, and so much said about the 33 straight scoreless innings from the Dodgers pitching, and rightfully so, until one Francisco Lindor stepped into the box.
And a 2-2 to Lindor, swinging a high fly ball, well hit to right. Betts going back, this might go, and it is gone, a home run! Francisco Lindor just pulled a Lenny Dykstra as he leads off a game in the postseason with a home run, and the Mets take an instant 1-0 lead.
They did, and it felt like Howie Rose on Mets Odyssey Radio.
Oh, did he spank that?
Yes, he did. It felt like an instant 6-0 lead, because in the next inning you got the grand slam from Mark Vientos. In between, you had the Tyrone Taylor RBI double, and then Starling Marte capped it with an RBI single.
Now we see Landon Knack again.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did not have the knack last night.
Here was Lindor on SNY on Viento. So calm, cool, and collected.
He doesn't shy away from it. He wants it. He wants the moment, and he understands that he's not bigger than the moment, so he's just got to continue to stay the course and compete. And he's growing up, you know. Every at-bat, he seems like he gets better and better.
Well, he's growing up all right with many big at-bats in this postseason and through the regular season. Here he was saying he wanted to make opponents pay for wanting to face him, and that's, of course, after they walk Lindor to get to him.
I use it as motivation. I'm like, all right, you want me up? I'm going to show you whatever.
well, he did.
Whatever. I mean, whew, that guy has been a revelation.
Anytime I whoosh, I just think of him.
Yeah, I'll go, oof, wow.
Wow.
That sucks.
Yeah.
Here was Sean Manaea. He got the win, 5+, 7 strikeouts before running into a little bit of trouble. He also talking about the young third baseman.
My man's got a lot of confidence in himself, and I love that. You know, he shows up every day, wants to improve and just, you know, be a player, and he's been doing that the whole year.
Yes, he has been, and it has certainly worked. Edwin Diaz, the four-out save. You had Maton and Stanek come on in between him doing the job as well. Diaz did strike out the side after putting a couple of guys on in the ninth. Here he was on the relievers in between he and, of course, Minaya.
Man, they are doing great. I'm really happy for them because, you know, we are playing a really good team, and Maton came in a tough situation. He got the job done, and then Stanek came up, get the job done, and they give me the ball to me. I get the job done, so it was a really good day for our bullpen.
We all get the job done.
Yeah,
that is it. Absolutely. Do the job. That's right. Turn your mic on. Game 3, Citi Field tomorrow night. Luis Severino, Walker Buehler, the pitching matchup there with the series now tied. And again, going to be chilly, too, by the way, tomorrow.
That's right.
It's going to have a very October feel to it, no question about it. NHL, you're the Rangers beat the Red Wings 4-1. Mika Zibanejad, a goal and two assists. Igor Shesterkin with 31 saves. The Islanders beat the Avalanche 6-2. Couple of goals for Brock Nelson and Jake Allen, 20 saves. Afternoon game for the Devils, who shut out Utah 3-0. You've got New Jersey, Carolina coming up tonight.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. So Troy Aikman after the game, I guess this came in that little post-game hit that they do after the game, because I didn't see this. I ended up shutting the game off as soon as it was over and attempting to go to sleep, said, "I could see this totally unraveling," when he was talking about the Jets. Now, I need to see what happens in this game against the Steelers, because they've got the Patriots right after that. If they get back to 4-4, it's not going to totally unravel. But I will say, after a coaching change already, a bad loss in this game,
the fact that Aaron Rodgers is looking the way he's looking, they've got an interim head coach, which means that chances are the guy's not going to stick around next year. I mean, as we sit here today at 2-4, is there a better chance that you've got a new quarterback and a new head coach next year, or a better chance that Jeff Ulbrich and Aaron Rodgers come back in 2025?
You know, at the moment that I sit here this morning, I would say the former,
yeah,
as opposed to the latter. But at the end of the day, we're not in that locker room, man. This league is not for the faint of heart. And if you do, if you're weird like Deion Dawkins says you are, then there is an internal problem with the team. I recognized something like 2 weeks ago, and hence Rob Saleh's fired 2 weeks later. But I would just say this. They've lost three games by a total of 10 points. Their biggest problem offensively is their second half. Number one, they don't score usually on their opening drive. And number two, they're not scoring any points in the second half, or virtually very few points, three being last night. And they actually held the Bills to 3 points last night in the second half as well. So they're in every single game. They are not getting blown out. Like, when I see the Dallas Cowboys, they get totally annihilated. And, you know, they're sitting there at 3-3, and you're wondering, okay, they're on the bye this week, and you're thinking to yourself, man, is this season over for them? But it's so far from over. So many things can still happen. And there's a trade yet out to be there. It'd be interesting thing would be whether or not the trade for Davante Adams happens with the Jets.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, wouldn't it be funny if, you know, Davante Adams goes to the Raiders to play with Derek Carr, and then he's there for a year, and then he's gone, and Davante Adams gets traded to the Jets, and then Aaron Rodgers retires at the end of the year, and then he's stuck with the Jets rebuild like he was stuck with the Raiders rebuild.
Yeah, listen, I know it's dark right now, and I know it sucks, and I know it feels crappy, but, you know, the players can't feel that way. The coach can't feel that way. That coach got to walk in there today and tell everybody, hey, man, we are right there. We are right there with everybody. We've played some good teams, and we've kept these games close. And I know that it sounds hollow and sounds fake, but at the end of the day, they have nobody else but themselves to rally around. You know, this is exactly how the Mets felt in June. Right around the, you know, middle of the season, early part of the, like, right first half, everybody's like, oh, this season's over. We were talking about trading Pete Alonso. What do we got to do? Are we going to trade Severino? Are we going to get rid of Minaya? Are we going to get rid of Quintana? I mean, like, on and on and on and on and on. And everybody, except for the Mets, the ownership, the president, the manager, who was a rookie manager, basically all hung together, and look where they are now.
Yeah, I think, though, that there are some comparisons there if the Jets are able to come back. But, I mean, the expectations on both of those teams coming into the season, completely different. And it was the first year of a new manager and a new president of baseball operations where you have now basically the end of the line if this team doesn't make it
right.
in a full rebuild, which is the exact opposite.
I would agree. If they don't make it, I would agree with you. If they don't make it, there's probably going to be a new coaching staff in here and everything else. I don't necessarily know they'll get rid of the GM. I think the GM's built a pretty good team. But I also know that they've only played six games together. And they're not exactly where they want to be. They're not firing on all cylinders. There's mistakes being made, as Jeff Ulbrich said, both on offense and defense. They're right there. I mean, it's not like they're getting blown out. And I know that it sounds hollow to people out there, but if you are a player on that team, you still have got to believe that you can compete and you can win. I mean, you're going to say that the season's over and you still got 11 games to go?
No, it's certainly not. You got a real good chance to get back to 4-4. The Steelers are not that good. Then you got the Patriots after that. Get back to 500. Get to 4-4. Then you feel pretty good about yourself from there. You got a couple games before the bye. That's the goal. Mini goals right now.
Remember what we said about the Mets after they started out horrifically?
Yeah,
you just get back to 500 first. That's your first goal. Get back to 500, and then let's see what happens from that point on.
All right, let's go to Joe and Wantall. What's going on, Joe?
Morning, gentlemen. How are you?
All right, Joe, what's happening?
I'm good. I'm loving this Mets team. You know, Lena Boomer, I don't know if you remember. I'm sure you do. That's my brother-in-law's niece, actually. And, you know, I got to go on a little bit of a soliloquy quickly before I get to my main point. You know, I'm the veteran of the game at the Mets-Philly Sunday night game. So I got to meet Severino, memory of a lifetime. But this Mets team, and I think what everyone's discounting. I'm a little bit upset, and I'm a calm baseball guy. I coached travel at a high level. My son was the catcher of the year at Kellenberg the year before Logan O'Hoppe, funny enough, was with the Angels, you know.
Yeah.
Luca actually played was the same year at Kellenberg with my son. But anyway, this move with Dave Roberts intentionally walking in the second inning, I think it might – they're not talking about it enough how I think it might – I know it was more for the matchup, but if he didn't hit that leadoff home run, would he have done it with two outs in the second inning? Why the hell do you do that? And these announcers that were condemning the Mets after game one, I've been so bitter because this game, we all know it, it's one game, and to say we're outclassed, who's outclassed now? I love this Mets team, and I know it's not going to be the same if they don't do it all, but this whole roster, this whole story might be one of the most beautiful in baseball ever, and I hope every fan out there embraces the hell out of it and just looking forward to the whole ride here, and obviously want to see Alvarez, you know, stay in his shoes a little bit, and we got to get some things done. But, man, enjoy this. Every Met fan out there, even that Jet fan who was talking. You know, I quit my junior year in high school in St. Louis, Missouri. My father was a Vietnam vet, showed up and wanted me to bring him to practices. You know, he pitched minor league ball for the Indians, Ohio State basketball scholarship. I shut down. I quit. The only championship in my high school's history. And I wasn't a part of it because of that moment, right?
Yeah, Joe. I mean, listen, there's a lot of information about your life. As Al would say, yeah, it's a good story for you. But we appreciate you calling in. We're with you on the Mets positivity and all of that great stuff.
You know, that was beautiful.
What was it? It was beautiful.
Well, I could hear the positivity coming from him in regards to the Mets. Like 3 months ago, that would have been completely opposite. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's where we are with the Jets right now, where we are with the Giants right now.
Yeah.
The complete opposite of where the Mets and the Yankees are.
Yeah, I wanted to learn more about that caller. You know, there was not enough information there.
It's like my second cousin, Billy. And he one time met Louis Severino. That was the greatest day of his life.
Right.
And then it also reminded me that my freshman year at St. Louis University. That was great, but my dad was having some issues. So I didn't go back to him when he said, just play ball. So I went back to St. Louis University. And it reminded me of my second cousin's friend, who also one time, he was a wrestler. And he wasn't able to make a weight class. Yeah. But...
I think we got a lot of emotional callers this morning.
God.
Is this what happens when the Jets lose?
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because he just kept going on and on and on about all these different things. He was like, Logan O'Hoppe. And then I like, woke up for a second because he was a kid who went to, he's in the majors. He played at Sayville. I was like, then it was like my smelling salt for a second. They went to something else.
And did you look in here and see us doing the.
Oh, yeah. Well, of course. Yeah. I'm always looking for your reaction.